You're listening to Shiva Shakti,
the podcast where we hold space for the messy, the sacred, and the unsaid.
We are two Indians unlearning silence, one conversation at a time.
From identity to love, loss, and the things we're told never to talk about.
This is where we talk about it all.
This is Shiva Shakti. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Shiva Shakti podcast. This is Priya. Just to give you a little bit of background about myself, I am a pediatrician. I was born in Chennai, raised in Virginia, did my medical training out in Chennai, and I'm currently in Nebraska after working in Hawaii for a little bit. I am very passionate about holistic health, about the arts. I'm a yoga teacher and currently studying Ayurveda.
Hi guys, I am Keithy. I work in the advertising field, originally born in Chennai as well. Grew up a lot around the Middle East, spent like about 8 years in India doing a background in engineering. Currently based in New York, working in the advertising field, which I absolutely love. Very, very passionate about just arts, creative, and all the cool culture stuff you see around you. And with that said, we are getting into this podcast today just to talk a little bit about our journeys into all these like more unconventional traditional fields that exist that might not be 100% as an opportunity that you see across India as a country and like our culture as well. And just to give share a bit about our journey through it, our navigations on like the hurdles, the difficulties, the conversations, and every aspect of how we live through it and are thriving today. So Priya, tell me more about like what makes you you, if anything.
That's a big question. Well, I was just thinking about our own introductions and how we both had very traditional in the sense that what most of the population or a lot of people consider a path in India to be like engineering and medicine. You know, growing up, my parents gave me those two options essentially, and my brother's an engineer and I became a doctor, just like classical out of the textbook. So that's where I started. I always enjoyed helping people and really enjoyed health. So I consider that, and especially being an immigrant, so having migrated to America, you know, we were really trying to chase the American dream, which was financial stability. And that's really how my family viewed success, was monetary success and a stable career. And so that's what we really invested all of our time and energy and resources into, was into developing careers for my brother and I. And it makes total sense, because if you think about my parents' generation, my dad was the first one in his family and my mom was the first one in her family to even immigrate to the United States. And so it was really, they were just in survival mode where they were just trying to make it work, acclimate to a new culture. And so their idea of success was stability. And the means to that stability was through having money. And so it made sense that they really wanted to invest in our education, was our number one priority. So growing up, I was a total nerd, studying all the time. Like, I really didn't do a lot of extracurriculars. I danced and I loved dancing. That was my one outlet where I felt really just free and creative and like myself. And but most of my other time was just focused on studying and continuing to climb up this ladder, which everyone told me, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel is worth it. Just keep going, just keep hustling, just keep going. So that
I was gonna say, like, I think like the one thing that you like what you said that kind of like struck a very commonality note, I guess, across our culture is essentially the idea of like stability. And I think it's like everyone chases that. And like, yes, there's definitely like a different concept that works from generation to generation. And obviously the one that we've come from, especially like both of us being in like our 30s right now, is that it comes to the idea of like, no matter what you do as a career, as long as there's a stable income coming in, and it's a stable income that can support your family and support your future offsprings, if they might be, is what stability and happiness is then linked into, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Because I think, is that how, when it comes to like today's culture, we as a generation view stability?
Yeah, that's such an interesting thought. And you're right that every generation, our goals and lives kind of shift. I feel like we're even in a privileged place to have these kind of conversations, to follow something that we do love that's not in the traditional way, and focus on creativity. I think our parents' generation really, and whether they lived in India or in America, there was a sense of a lack of creative expression because really the focus was on reproducing, assimilating, and really just finding stability. And not saying that stability is not important in our life. Like when we think about the triangle of hierarchy of needs, like we all need our basic needs met to even progress up to think about pursuing creative arts or
For
anything.
sure, yeah. But I think, like, obviously, that I think that has now broadened further in terms of what that could mean as a career path besides being an engineer or a doctor. Like, I share a very similar background in terms of, like, yes, like, I mean, I grew up in the Middle East, so like, my parents did migrate there when we were very, I was very young. So I grew up in like a completely different culture, even though I had its definite traces of like Indian heritage and culture within that, because we're like within our own society over there. But then coming back to India and like sort of seeing what the culture there is like, and seeing how I don't even fit in there anymore because of a way of like being born away from there, but then coming back into something that wasn't literally a part of my life the whole entire journey through. And yeah, then coming into like an engineering career, then doing that, absolutely hating that. And
Did you get into engineering? Was there any family pressure, or was it something that you truly thought was best for you at the time?
oh, 100% a level of family pressure, because I do remember like even having this conversation where I thought I might enjoy architecture because it's just like, oh, you get to draw and you get to design little buildings and you get to like actually make these things that are just there in your head an actual reality that exists in the world. And I think that was what fascinated me about the entire process of it. And I mean, sure, one could make a case that that thing exists for engineering as well, but like I think the process of like getting what I truly felt passionate about denied and then put into a trajectory that no part of me or who I could even understand from myself as a young age resonated with, then goes into I'm doing this to make someone else happy, but I'm not doing it to make myself happy. And is it even maybe a bit of that their happiness translates to my happiness? And I think that's a question that I never asked myself enough then, but just sort of follow the path into it.
I resonate with that completely. I mean, there was a lot of conditional love and trying to make them proud and just understanding their struggle as an immigrant family and what they went through. So it just felt like the best gift I could give back to them was
Oh my
listen to
God.
what they wanted me to do,
Oh
right?
my God, just a number of stories of like when I was your age.
Right. So like guilt, there's some emotional manipulation, and it's just the way you bond. It's interesting. It's like you can't really have, at least for me, when I tried to speak up about what I was really passionate about, I was dismissed as being naive, or but it was really my intuitive knowing, like you were saying, as a child, like your interests that you're naturally drawn to are oftentimes not considered stable careers, and so they're really not pursued upon or like celebrated for going into, versus when you're going into these more traditional careers that are more stable or make money, it's like you get applause from everyone around you, your own family. So I think that's a maybe a layer that makes it even harder to truly follow what you want to do.
Yeah. And I think this is a very interesting aspect of looking at what issues India as a country is going through right now in terms of like having this like overabundance of a labor force that's very specifically geared towards either being engineers or doctors, and how thankfully a lot of the newer generations are pursuing more creative fields. And, you know, that's something very nice to see. But it is fascinating that like this idea of like prestige comes with being this very traditional aspect of engineer, doctor, lawyer, high income jobs, thus now your stability is what like stability means is so
Yeah, it's like how
outdated.
we're defining stability, how we're defining happiness, how we're defining success. And I think it's
Yeah.
from person to person and generation to generation. But if you think about it, even when we introduce ourselves to people, one of the first things that comes up is, what do you do? Like, we want to put people into these boxes to make sense of their whole life and their character and give them kind of a label or a definition, and maybe even subconsciously create a judgment based on what they do. Or And so I think there's a lot of like psychology that gets tied into that, whether it be in India or the States or anywhere else.
Oh yeah, it's definitely still like a very fascinating hello conversation I get to try to explain people what I do, and like I'm not even pretty sure like most of the older generation of my family 100% get what I do, and that's totally fine. Like I mean I love what I do, but it's like, and I don't think it needs an explanation. I think like what annoyingly I've got them off my back was the fact that they're like, oh, it from what I can understand in Google and research, it seems like a pretty lucrative career, so go for it. But like it, I think like always a pain point in my life was that it took me so long to want to decide to pursue it. And it was like I had to go through 4 years of engineering school, spend 4 to 5 years more being miserable across like a variety of other jobs of like just trying to like, oh, is this, why am I not feeling fulfilled doing something that is basically something I would do till the day I die? What, why am I not like happy about it? What purpose do I have serving this actual duty for like someone else's business, someone else's like vision? I'm just a part in that machine. And I think that's like a frustrating point I had. Like I think it was like 26, maybe 27 is where I had like a bit of like that breakdown moment of like I cannot see myself being happy living this way anymore and till the day I die if I'm actually not doing something that gives me some sense of purpose. And thankfully, like that has then led into this entire journey of like quitting well-paying engineering, sales kind of related jobs to then going into a world of taking up a tiny little unpaid internship of being a digital illustrator, just because I used to love to draw as a kid, and understanding how all these like softwares, programs work when it comes into the creative world. A lot of your Adobe suites and like Photoshop, Illustrator, all that. Did that for 3 months, going on to then on my own, creating this tiny little portfolio, applying to like every digital media, digital marketing company you could find across Chennai, and begging them for a job, getting one that essentially paid me peanuts for like the first year and a half that I worked there. And, but at least gave me like a chance to like develop the skill that innately at least made me want to do it. And I think that's where it came to the in my mind that like I don't think the money was as important as actually getting to do something I was passionate about.
It is so inspiring to hear your story because I feel like I'm on a similar journey of what you went through. But I'm curious for you, was there like one event or moment that was a breaking point that helped you when you were like, okay, I'm really done. It's really clear, like you were really getting signs or really feeling it. I know it was kind of like a slow build up throughout your life, but was there anything that triggered it, or was it just you were just totally done?
I mean, I don't know if this like gets into like the territory of TMI, but I think it's this aspect of like just severe depression. Like, you know, like in my head, like I just did not feel there was even a reason to get up anymore. There's like n everything just felt so toxic in my life. Like relationships just felt like it didn't matter anymore. Like there was just like, I think there's no sense of self. As I was getting lost into this purpose I was trying to find, but just could not because I was doing something I wasn't happy with. And yeah, it was a couple of dark years, months before I could, before I think it all ultimately led to that bit of a breaking point. But once it broke, it's literally like, you know, a glass shattering. And now we can like actually see past the window and see past a little bit of a shade.
It's like even if you don't know what's coming, you at least know that you're not where you used to be, and the opportunities could be endless, even though there's a lot of uncertainty and newness involved in a path like that.
Yeah. And I mean, no, there's also this aspect of like, it really did help that I think I was lucky enough to have a loving enough family to see me being miserable during this point and were actually open to the idea of like, I think it is maybe important now for you to pursue things that actually genuinely interest you.
So they really did come. I mean, when you were at that point, at least they were open to maybe fully switching your path altogether.
I mean, none of us were sure where it was going to go, but it was more like I hadn't done my like graduate master's yet, and so it was my okay, like I guess it's time to do that aspect of my life. And I was absolutely afraid to do anything related to engineering. And so I think they were like, okay, so what are you passionate about? And so I found this like dual program of doing my master's in like global strategy communication and art direction based on like the bit of a career path I was building up in India. And you know, it was a risk. We flipped a coin, but it's paid off ultimately. Like here I am like 6 years later, right? And
How
I
do you how are
think
you finding success now? Because we talked a lot about like money and stability, but when you follow something that your heart's always been calling to you for, like what does success look like to you now or mean to you now?
There's no, okay, I think if I can say it in a sentence, is that success is that I get to do something that I'm genuinely happy waking up every morning and do. And don't get me wrong, like any job, there's going to be pressure, there's going to be stress points, but it's easier to get through those when you actually feel that this is what you were put on the earth to do.
My heart is so happy hearing all of this because this is the exact path that I'm on too. So much
Right.
uncertainty, so much doubt, made a huge decision to leave medicine and had no idea where I was headed because medicine is so one-track minded. Like once you're a doctor, it's not really, you have no other background experience to jump into any other career. You're fully starting from scratch unless you stay in the medical hub and maybe work with insurance or something like that. It's really to use everything you've learned to do any other job, you know?
For
But
sure.
it was very similar for me where I kind of brainwashed myself that I liked medicine and then the pressure of family and society. And we have some doctors in our family. And so my dad really looked up to them and wanted someone in his family to become a doctor. That was a point of pride for him. And so just through all of those conditions, it's like just the path I did. And I did really well too. I feel like I need to give myself credit because it wasn't easy, the exams, the work that went into it, the long hours. But the entire time, that discomfort kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger with like each next step I would take, more discomfort within me of like, this isn't it. But you know, I wasn't in a place to accept that. I wasn't in a place to say, okay, then what are we going to do? I just thought it'll get easier over time. Let me just keep going. Let me just keep going. And you know, my dad would say things like, once you're a doctor, then you can dance. Like, then you can do your art or do
It's
your.
always another day, you
It's all
know?
on the side, not as the main thing. So I thought, okay, then when I'm a doctor, I'm going to have more time to pursue what I want to pursue. So let's just keep going. But the more I kept going, the more health issues started showing up. Same thing for me with depression, anxiety, waves of it up and down. Because it was just when you're not in alignment with really what you're meant to be doing or what feels good to you, I feel like life makes it really uncomfortable, whether it be a physical illness, a mental illness, like it just pushes you to a corner where it's like screaming at you. You know, it's a gentle knock first and then it's a push and a shove. And I feel like that's what was happening to me. The further I just kept telling myself it was going to be okay and let's just keep going.
Yeah.
When working full time as a pediatrician, when that was supposed to be the end, you know, that's the light at the end of the tunnel, 4 days a week, great income. I mean, like fantastic income. But there was a part of me that felt so empty and so sick. And even the people around me, like the doctors around me, looking at them 10, 20 years ahead of where I was like, that's not who I want to be when I grow up. That's not the things I cherish, like to have the wealth that they have or live the lifestyle that they have. Like, yeah, it seems like it would be soothing, but if you really got to know them or saw underneath all those layers, they maybe had dysfunction within their marriage or a lot of health issues, and they were chronically medicated or having issues like migraines all the time, and everyone was on prescription medication. And I don't know, we would just like wait for the weekend, wait for your 15 days PTO. And I thought the same thing you were thinking. I was like, is this what I'm going to do till retirement? Like till I die? Like this is going to be the pace. And I tried making all of the adjustments. Let's drop down the hours of work. Let's move closer to work so we have less of a drive. Let's do this. Let's work out this way. Let's eat this way. I mean, all systems were in place to try to support me. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. And from the outside, it can be like, oh, you're only working 4 days, 8 to 5, you know, not so bad. But it was deeper than the logistics of it because my soul was feeling really crushed and I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I felt super stuck. And I don't know, I've always made decisions based on my intuition. And this was another huge leap of faith to leave medicine for a long while, maybe forever. I don't know. But then the path slowly started revealing itself to me over time. Once I took time to really like calm my nervous system, catch up on sleep, like just take care of myself, that became like my luxury and success to sleep in without an alarm, to cook all three of my meals, to read for fun on a Monday afternoon, to take walks when I wanted to. I was like, wow, I feel richer than I ever have. Like the amount of money that I was making to the amount that my husband and I bring in together now, it is a fraction of that, but I am so much happier and feel richer. And I really like define rich and an abund and abundance in such a different way than I used to see and think of people that were rich and abundant. And it kind of moved from just gluttony because I was in a cycle where I was so burnt out and stressed. It was like viciously buying things or spending things or going on bougie vacations because I was like, I deserve it. You know, I'm working so hard. But now it's like it's changed our spending habits, and the number we actually need to survive and be happy is so much lower than what I thought it was, like what I thought I needed to survive, because I just
Yeah.
didn't any other way.
No, I would definitely say that. I think there's a level of like, I think that's the aspect of like redefining what happiness means besides like stability. And I think like this is a good time to point out that like we've obviously been friends for like at this 11, 12 years at this point. And I think like one of the aspects that I do admire about you a lot is that idea that you were actually willing to sort of push past traditional beliefs and family to the point of like I know it's a bit like of a difficult to source subject like family currently, and I think like while I was like lucky enough to have like family was like, supporting me and like willing to let me go on this adventure after everything else had failed, I think is I genuinely like condemn you and like commend you and think that's so brave of you that you actually were willing to do this from your own belief and didn't need anyone else to support you through that. And I think that is something I think like would be like super exciting to hear about because I think that just makes that a lot more harder if that makes sense. And I think like I imagine a lot of people go through that same feeling of like what we spoke about earlier, where like I think it's part of why I'm doing this is to make my family happy. Whereas I think to break out of that cycle is something that's so hard to do. And I think that you've done that so
So
like
hard.
admirably.
Thanks, Kirti. That really means a lot. And it wasn't easy at all. It's one of the hardest decisions easily that I've ever made in my life. And you know, you think it's going to be rainbows and butterflies once you start choosing yourself, but there's a lot of grief that comes with it and a lot of difficult emotions that you actually have to sit with and face. And I wouldn't say it's too much of a sore subject anymore. It probably was closer to when everything was going down. But at this point, I feel like I'm far enough removed from it and can see, kind of step out and see the bigger picture of like actually unconditionally loving and forgiving them, my family of origin, my culture, all those things that were initially, you know, when I was going through all this, it was hard for me to even eat Indian food. I'd have tears in my eyes or watch Indian movies because it felt so close to home and something I had disconnected from. But now it's like a reclamation of all of who I am without all of the people putting it on me, but me wanting to find and reconnect with my own roots and my own heritage and my own culture through, be it yoga or Ayurveda or cooking Indian food at home or watching Indian movies. Like I feel more connected to my culture in a way because it's coming from within instead of outside pressure onto me. But thank you for saying that. And I think what makes it a little bit easier is I've done it before. And because I've done it with my family, I was able to do it with medicine. I've done it in relationships. You know, there were different situations in my life where I had to make these decisions, regardless of other people's opinions or weeding through other people's opinions and really trusting my own inner knowing and my heart. And that's the only proof, that's the only tangible thing I have when people ask me questions like, why'd you move to Hawaii? Or why this person? Or why this with your family? All I can say is it was just my inner voice. It was just my inner knowing. And I think we all have that sense of intuition in different ways, but it's hard to act on it when you haven't before. And there's everything outside of you telling you otherwise.
Yeah. No, honestly, like I do like the I like the aspect of the idea of like following the inner voice because I feel like this within all of us, like no matter culture, color, wherever you're from in the world, it's that there's something in you screaming that this is what makes you happy. You need to listen to it. And I think especially from being part of like a South Asian culture, we are taught to like stifle that voice a lot and a lot. And I think I even like before we got on this podcast, we were talking about the aspect that like you always felt that you'd be happy dancing and like pursuing something in like the Ayurvedic sense of medicine. And I always said that, yes, I think I just love to draw. Like my initial passion was just in the field of drawing. But like we went through the entire journey. And I'm not gonna say that we wasted our life doing it. I think maybe that was part of the journey to get to where we are today. But I will say the fact that like what how different would it have been, you know, if we were just allowed to do it right off the bat?
No, I think about that all the time, but I also am the type of person that doesn't like to live with regrets per se, because I do think things unfolded the way they should have, and I've learned so many lessons along the way, along the journey, that's really made me who I am right now and sharpened my intuition, sharpened my sense of self. And so although there was like deep, deep conditioning, yeah, I do wonder that. I do wonder if I had a very supportive family with my career or was able to just have all the support I needed. But I also think there's an aspect, like I was talking about earlier, of sometimes needing to get uncomfortable enough to follow the whispers of your heart or your soul or your spirit. And because they are whispers, they're not loud like our mind, things around us, like those things are loud, but our inner knowing is very soft. And like life has to get quiet enough, but it's always speaking to us. It's just whether we're listening to it or not. But yeah, I do wonder that. But again, it's like, it's just how it all played out and using that as a part of your strength, because I don't think we're here to just have. Be 100% happy and have everything work out in our favor all the time. Like, I really think the earth is a playground. Like, it's like our school where we're kind of evolving and growing through the challenges, which is just making us even more stronger in our character.
No, 100%. I think like the maybe the reason I asked that question is like I think there's a level of like as our culture, country, and generation start to move forward, like I think it's important to embrace the fact that this is the reason why we might not choose to listen to it or not even hear that it's calling out to you, but there's a level of like listen to it because I think you can still make a career out of it, you can still make a life out of it, you can still find beauty in it. And it's just taking that chance on yourself because that is you talking to yourself. And I think it's the level of like you can choose to listen to it or pursue a life that just doesn't feel as fulfilled, but you can't figure out the reason why.
And somehow I really believe that once you start listening and choosing it, even though there initially might be a lot of chaos or disharmony, things settle down, things become clear. There's actually a huge sense of relief, even if there was a lot of loss and grief along the way. There's like a realignment to people that are more aligned to you, to opportunities that are more aligned to you. Like your life really becomes your own, you know, your own creation. And I think that's just such a rich way to live, truly.
Yeah, and I think I know like we've been like talking about our journey a lot at this point, and end of the day, like I am proud of who I am today, and I think you are as well. And we've been through ups and downs, so many heartbreaks, difficult conversations, but I think the one thing I am proud about both of us is that we just never gave up, and I could not imagine life if it wasn't the way it is today, because I knew how miserable I was. And even the most difficult days today, I can still wake up feeling like I have a sense of purpose. And that is the best gift that I could give myself. And if, you know, if everyone could potentially listening to us today, like do that for themselves, even if it's like one step at a time, because it's not something that happens over a weekend or over like a month. This is me like 7 years in the making of trying to build this journey, and it's always going to keep going forward. But if there's one thing I can leave anyone with in this podcast, is that just take that first step.
Oh, so I'm like literally have goosebumps all over my body. All of that really, really landed. And yeah, if I could leave the audience with one thing, is that it's never too late. And that you always have a choice. Sometimes we convince ourselves otherwise that we're too old or we've already gone too deep into a path, but it's really we always have a choice. We always have a choice to change. We always have a choice to realign there, and you will be supported. You'll be surprised, I think, when you take these leaps of faith, how somehow things start stepping in and aligning. And like you said, yeah, it does take time, but I agree with just even if it's a micro step, even if it's speaking up, sharing your truth, despite what other people say around you, or really looking back into the things you were interested in when you were young, or things that came naturally to you, or hobbies. Like that's where your magic is.
Where your magic is.
Yeah.
All right, well, since Pri said that's where your magic is, I think we can gracefully say that abracadabra and hope things work out for all of us. And that's us signing out.
Take care, everyone. Till next time.